Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into a Monday here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Lycus with you, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. The band's back together. Mac actually came back from Nashville. I didn't know if we were ever going to see him again. Didn't know he was going to ghost us.
Contemplated. Got to be here for the three.
Right, hey, George Brett's going to be in studio. I'm good.
I'm out. Damn it. I'm out. Missed him.
Yeah, he did. Got a lot of feedback from that.
Tons of feedback. Everybody loved it,
and
right?
And the only feedback I got was, I can't believe you didn't know the Vegas story.
Like, damn it, you know how many people said that to me over the weekend? How did Dusty not know the Vegas story?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Four different people from four different services were like, have you watched the video yet? I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Had people over for poker on Saturday night, and they're like, you've seen the video now, have you? I was like, yes, I've seen it now. I remember it. But, no, fun show. Friday, fun show today. What? We got Royals manager Matt Cotrero on.
That's
at
right.
9 o'clock.
Former
Chiefs player Sean Smith in studio at 8.
That's right. Be careful. Get the dump button ready. Yeah. Sean's ready to go.
Well, he's got like a bottle of Fireball.
I saw that. Sean will probably fire that back before he gets ready to go this morning. And he's coming in a robe only. Is that what we've kind of learned from the internets yesterday?
I hope so. I hope he's commando.
I do too. It'd be great.
Josh Briscoe and Derek Johnson. So, loaded show today on a Monday as the Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play Monday Night Football. It's why I hate Monday Night Football.
Yep.
I
hate it. No, I'm with you. You've gotten to the age of, like, enough is enough. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need Monday Night Football after Saturday and Sunday. And no. Monday Night Football, it's great for the gambling world, right? No doubt about that.
Yeah.
You get a couple of bucks on a Monday Night Football game. But even since I was a kid, I just never liked Monday Night Football. It was always one of those deals. I'm just like, man, I'm done with football for the weekend. But I'm glad it's our team on Monday Night Football because it saves the league from what was. I just keep watching this thing every Sunday, and I'm like, it's us and the Lions, and nobody else is worth a damn right now in this league.
Like college basketball when it's, you know, December and you're like, okay, so it's UConn and Kansas and then it's everybody else.
That's exactly
and right.
Right
now it's Detroit and it's the Chiefs and everybody else. I know. Mm-hmm. Oh, but Baltimore won 41-10. Yeah. Who did they play?
They played the Denver Broncos, who may have been parading around as the emperor with no clothes
Frauds.
For the last couple of weeks, right? I mean, my God. Baltimore.
Generational gap of a show. Mac, are you ready for your first quiz of the week?
Oh, this is going to be good. Okay. This is going to be good.
All right. Quincy Jones has passed away at the age of 91.
Don't look it up.
He is famous.
No,
he's famous for?
Quincy Jones, man. Quincy had a way with paintbrush.
Yeah.
Had away with it.
I told you were right. You're like, there's no chance he knows him. Dusty goes, do you think he doesn't? I go, let's save it for the air and see if he knows who Quincy Jones is. I mean, Quincy Jones is one you probably should know because Quincy Jones literally was involved in everything in the entertainment industry. When you start to go through his bio, 91 years old, passed away last night. Rashida Jones, who played on The Office for all those years, and among other things, one of my heartthrobs over the years. Rashida Jones, loved her. Her father. Passing away, but you start to look at his bio. My God, it's like he did Thriller, he did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he did the Austin Powers theme. I mean, the list goes on and on and on for the stuff that he did. He wrote like most of Sinatra's songs and things like that as well. Like Quincy Jones is one of the more heralded folks in the history of entertainment.
Yeah, Thriller, Fly Me to the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? The Austin Powers theme song they used to do for Shout It Out.
Yep.
He essentially took jazz and R&B and hip hop and put them together.
Yeah.
And that's essentially
a legend.
Yeah.
91. Great age.
Yeah.
Like if I get to 91, Thank you, Lord.
That's a good age to tap out, right?
That's house money,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's like, a good age. When does house money come? After 75?
I'd say 70.
Okay, you're
at
going
this
really
day
young.
And age, I think 70s probably. Okay. You know.
I was going to say about 75. Anything over that, you probably are good and whatnot. But 91 years old and the accomplishments that he's had, I mean, for a guy who was like never on the mic, if you will, like he had so many dang accomplishments. And it's a shame. You know, 91 years old, lived a good life. But, man, we lost a legend last night.
We thought about it. It is Monday Night Football for the Kansas City Chiefs, but that is not where we start our show today. We start our show today with the baseball team proving to the world that they are already setting the foundations for next year, which is playoff or bust.
That's right.
I think that's what it is with the Kansas City Royals. Is Michael Wacha signed $51 million deal over the weekend. We will have Matt Cotrero on at 9. We'll see how many cheese blankets he's been putting down in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, I saw this yesterday and sent you guys the text. And I said, I think we have our lead for Monday morning. And I know that some people are going to say, well, talk Chiefs and do this. This is a very important day for the Kansas City Royals because this is one of those dominoes that when it falls or if it fell, you would see the next thing. Wacha had an opportunity to go get maybe a little bit more money. Could have, I mean, that's a lot of money for Michael Wacha, the age that he is, I think 33.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, could have gone out, been like, you know what? I'm going to go to a team that is definitely World Series or bust and not necessarily playoff or bust. And what we talked about, I think, last week was when Wacha was here and why he came here is because Seth Lugo. And Lugo and he were in San Diego. Lugo came here, called Wacha, said, hey, man, Kansas City's cool. This team's kind of got a good vibe to it. I think they're going to be decent. They've got one of the best players in the world here. They got a captain in Salvador Perez that's going to work with you more often than not. And they got a manager here that knows how to control his team. I really think you'll like it here. That story is 1,000% proof and truth that this team is ready because Michael Wacha is staying. Seth Lugo is going to be here, and Cole Reagans is going to be here next year. Your rotation is all but set. There are a few question marks. I know that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But the important part is you've locked up the veteran that we all thought was going to test the market, did not, decide to stick with the Royals during that quiet time.
I didn't realize there was something called a quiet time in baseball,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I had no idea. And there's been a lot of movement already during the quiet time in
baseball. It's awfully loud. It's very...
it is.
Very contradicting there, but it is. It's Michael Wacha sticking around in Kansas City. This is a stepping stone toward the foundation of, I think, next year is, no doubt about it, I think you can have this mentality. It is playoffs or bust.
You know, it is, and I think that needs to be the mentality now going forward as long as John Sherman is the proprietor of our baseball team here in Kansas City, and he has shown, and he has basically not shown, but with his actions, it is playoffs or bust here in Kansas City. And that's the first thing that I immediately thought about yesterday, you know, when Michael Wacha signed during this quote-unquote quiet period. See, Major League Baseball needs to celebrate these types. You know they gave out their gold gloves last night in the middle of Sunday Night Football? Major League Baseball was handing out gold gloves last night. Congratulations, Bobby Witt and Seth Lugo for winning the gold gloves. Terrible timing by Major League Baseball. You got Wednesday night after the trade deadline on Tuesday, the big night. Everybody's looking forward to the trade deadline Tuesday. You got kind of an off day on Wednesday before Thursday Night Football kicks up. Should have done your gold gloves then, but I digress, right?
Right.
The Wacha signing to me, though, is all about, again, reassuring everybody in Kansas City that this isn't the Glassian days anymore. This is different now with John Sherman. And I know we all immediately sit back and have PTSD from the way that Glass ran this franchise. But I think right now it's safe to say we're in a new era in Kansas City when it comes to baseball. And I think this signing should be all you need to know about John Sherman, the owner now of this franchise. There should be no more wondering and hoping and thinking. We should have the expectation now. As long as John Sherman is only this team, he's going to make the funds available that are necessary to put a winning team, a legit team, a playoff contending team on the field every year. Mm-hmm. That needs to be our expectation now for our baseball team. And I love the fact that that's our expectation now for our baseball team, because for so many years we had the expectation of just win on opening day and the rest will take care of itself type of stuff. And so John has proven to me, and I hope he's proven to everybody else now, this is a legitimate owner in Major League Baseball. Like, he's here to win, and he's going to do what's necessary. And it's not words, because John Sherman isn't out here telling everybody. He's showing everybody. And the first real major move of the Major League Baseball offseason was in Kansas City with Michael Wacha getting signed and bringing him back into the fold and giving him, as you said, the $51 million to move forward. And, you know, you said in the beginning, I'm sure people are going to say, talk Chiefs. We've got to understand now the sports landscape in Kansas City is now a two-team landscape in Kansas City, because the Royals are a playoff team, have the expectation to be a playoff team, have an owner that's willing to spend money to make this a playoff team. And so while it is a Monday night football game, the biggest story of the day was Michael Wacha getting signed yesterday, because that changes everything now going into the offseason. Your 1, 2, and 3s are set in stone going into the month of November and before the Thanksgiving holiday. We know who the top three guys in our rotation are.
One of the teams last year, or the team last year that moved quickly and efficiently, was the Kansas City Royals. Right? This year, so far, they're following suit to what they did last year. And again, Wacha's deal with the Royals will pay him $18 million in 2025, $18 million in 2026, $14 million in 2027. And then there's, like, you know, a couple mil and easy incentives, like, you know, throw 100 innings,
right,
or, you know, pitching 5-15
adjust
games.
Your cup.
Yeah. But no, I think what's great about this is that they're doing it early so that they can get on board as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, solidify what your team is, because you really only have, I mean, I say really, you could still maybe move Singer or go get another pitcher if you want. And go get a bat. Now, obviously, I don't think that bat's going to be like Juan Soto type of guy. I mean, there's guys like Jock Peterson, Cody Bellinger, guys like
Didn't
that.
Didn't Bellinger just pick up his option over the
Chicago
weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. So Peterson, a guy that maybe doesn't move the needle too much for a lot of people.
It
but
would
that's,
for me. I don't know. He's one of those guys that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, I wanted him back when L.A. let him go. But, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that'll happen next. And then when this team packs up and goes to surprise, they'll know exactly what they want to do, what they're going to be. And like you said, the most important part of why this team went from 56 wins to 86 wins, a 30-win differential in 1 year, is because they solidified their starting rotation.
Right.
And now going into next year, like you said, your 1, 2, 3 are set. Your opening series against whoever the hell you play, I forget who it is, Cleveland, I think.
I think it is Cleveland, yeah.
I think it's in Cleveland. You know, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, you're getting Reagans, Lugo, Wacha.
There you go. Let's
and it's
go.
November 4th.
Right. And you're ready to go. You know how it's going to shape up. And it also now opens the door with the opportunity, I think, to trade Brady Singer. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a while now. My buddy Jim sent me a text yesterday. He's like, all right, now this opens the door. Let's trade him. Let's get him out of here. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's kind of now the thought process, because what we saw this postseason is the Royals just didn't have enough offense. They still need to get a bat. The Dodgers, even though they won the World Series, they're doing bullpen games in the playoffs. I just feel like the Dodgers make a nice match for the Royals with Brady Singer. Max Muncy would be a great addition, in my opinion, can play multiple positions, only has one more year remaining on his contract and whatnot, but he kind of gives you a veteran bat at third base that you could use. I mean, let's call it what it is, right?
Yep.
Max Muncy would be a nice fit here in Kansas City, and if I'm the Royals, I'm picking up the phone and calling the Dodgers and going, hey, now that you're done celebrating, you interested in Brady Singer for Max Muncy? Let's see if we can make that happen. See, I think that would be a great move for the Royals, and then you can give some of your younger guys that are in your system or fought for jobs last year the opportunity to be your 4 and 5 starters. But I think Brady Singer right now still, to me, is more valuable as a trade piece than he is as somebody to be in this rotation.
No doubt about it. That's Bob Fesco. Coming up on the other side, we get into what is tonight. The Kansas City Chiefs play Monday Night Football against a beat-up Tampa Bay team. It's just the regular season. Just continue to do your job. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Hate it or love it, there's still only one undefeated team in football, and they play tonight against Baker Mayfield. That's it.
That is it. Yes, it is the Kansas City Chiefs and Baker Mayfield. And you know what? We're thankful for a lot of Chiefs. Every day at 6:40 next week, beginning next week, we're going to play a highlight of a Chiefs player that we are thankful for. Then caller 6 will be qualified every day during the giveaway for a $500 grand prize to Hy-Vee. How about that? Ooh. Right in time for Thanksgiving, we're going to give somebody a $500 gift card to Hy-Vee, and you guys will have the opportunity to win that beginning next Monday at 6:40. 6:40 a.m. So every day next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's how it goes, November 4th through the 8th. At 6:40, you're going to have an opportunity to qualify, and then one of our qualifiers will win that $500 gift card to Hy-Vee. So be listening next week.
So we'll play a highlight of Patrick Mahomes.
That's right.
No name. Drops back and throws. Yeah. All right.
As good as Mac edited the last ones, I mean, I'm sure we'll have a lot of great giveaways to.
It's another catch for Rashee Rice, and the Chiefs are up six. All right. Who was that Chief that we just played the highlight of? If you didn't get the name right, you lose your privileges.
That's right. You lose your ability to drink a cup of coffee in the morning.
Mac, Rashee Rice. I'm interested in what you think this game tonight shows you. Because a lot of people would say that this could be a trap game. A lot of people have trap game
17th.
Vibes.
Oh, trap game.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, a lot of people will sit here and be like, well, Tampa Bay's beat up. They run the ball. Nobody runs the ball against the Chiefs. It just, when I look at this.
Does Tampa have any other option but to run the football?
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, Godwin and Evans being out. Massive. Kate Otten is their tight end, who's probably going to get heavily targeted by Baker because tight ends seem to do well in this against the Chiefs defense.
But if he's the number one weapon.
That's like, what I was thinking, too.
If he's the number one weapon tonight. Is he going to be the guy that beats the Chiefs, or is it going to be somebody that...
I think you have the same recipe you had against Vegas.
Just let Brock Bowers beat you?
I mean,
but who else is there on Tampa at this point in time? Right. You know? I mean,
Rashad White, was there on Las Vegas, though. Right. That's the question.
Rashad White and Bucky Irving are going to dual threat their backfield. They're going to obviously go out. Bucky Irving's like their lightning, and then White, the local kid, is like their thunder. But I'm interested. Like, you look at this game, right? We look at it, Chiefs. Heavily favored in this game. I think 8.5, 9.
Yeah, nine, I think right? I think it's 9+ maybe.
At they're home, 9 next week, too.
At home, extra couple days off because they played Monday Night Football. So, I mean, am I missing anything?
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of with Mac on this one. Like, Otten is the guy who you would think tonight is going to be the star of the offense. The Chiefs do a pretty good job of taking the stars away, and then somebody else will beat you. Now, I know it's been the tight ends, but those other teams had wide receivers, right? Flowers and guys like that. You start to go down the list of, you know, teams that have good wide receivers. Cincinnati, obviously, their wide receiver didn't beat us. It was the tight end and whatnot. So, I think tonight, because the tight end is arguably the best weapon that they have on Tampa right now, I think they find a way to take him out and they let somebody else beat you. I don't know. That's just kind of the way it's been, you know, with this team.
I think the start of this game is so vital for Tampa Bay because if they mess up their first couple of drives, they get down 7-10 points. I mean, then their script is completely out the window. They're going to have to score early because they have to rely on Kate Otten and their two running backs. And if they can't do that, once they start, got to throw to what? Sterling Shepard, McMillan, a bunch of no names, a guy, you know. Literally, I mean, it is the embodiment of that's their wide receiving core right now without
Godwin
and Evans.
You've never heard of Rakeem Jarrett?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, sorry. Come on, Rakeem Jarrett, of course.
What about Ryan Miller?
Yeah.
Or Trey Palmer.
Go Vols.
Is that the guy that used to work for NFL Network?
It is, yes. Oh, yes. He hosted The Bachelor, too.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
That's right, yeah.
So he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, you better believe he is.
This could be the first game where the Chiefs, I mean, I don't know about first, but I'd say like a real defiant win in the scoreboard as well. Not just we're watching the game. Oh, yeah, they won that game defiantly. Like, this could be a scoreboard box score watcher gets on their phone on Tuesday morning. Wow, the Chiefs dominated that game. Where they wouldn't do that with the Raiders score. They get on their phone the next day. Oh, wow, Raiders almost beat the Chiefs. Really, when we all know that game was over.
That game was over in the third quarter. Yeah, Speaking of over, the Raiders fired their entire offensive coaching staff at midnight last night.
Just again.
Like
fourth time in 5 years, they've either fired a coordinator or a head coach midseason.
Is it really?
I just saw it.
That's the sign of a successful organization, right? Like, and we were kind of talking about it before the show. I know, and that's my point. That's a million percent my point. Like, you're only as good as your owner. And when you have Mark Davis and, you know, clown number 3 and 4 running your team, like, I'm sorry, you're not going to have a lot of success. And so you were saying before the show, like, I guess Antonio Pierce is next. And we're like, who do you hire? Yeah. Like, you have literally fired and hired everybody out there in Oakland. Would you think they hire Gruden back?
I mean,
that's not the worst option.
Schefter, yes. Schefter says this marks the fourth time in the past 5 years that the Raiders have switched coordinators or head coaches in the middle of the season.
That's insane. I mean, you can't put a winning organization on the field when you're constantly changing those positions. And as bad as it looks, eventually you just got to say, hey, we got to stick with this. If you believe that Antonio Pierce was the right guy in January when you hired him, it's November. Yep. Unless he lit himself on fire and ran down the strip naked, nothing's changed with Antonio Pierce. So get him a quarterback and stick with him.
Last week, going off track record of Tampa Bay's offense, Baker Mayfield threw for 330 yards, three touchdowns. Now, it was a committee, right? It was Kate Otten, Rakeem Jarrett, Bucky Irving, Rashad White, some guy named McMillan, like Palmer, guys like that I've never heard of. But they didn't run the ball very well against Atlanta. They ran the ball 15 times for, I don't know, 80 yards, 44 and 29 by both guys.
Okay.
No one runs against the Chiefs.
That's right.
And when I say no one, I mean major names, J.K. Dobbins, right? Derrick Henry. Guys like that.
Bijan Robinson,
who had a game yesterday. Guys like that aren't running the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs just know how to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when Tampa Bay played the Ravens, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, that game started off, I don't know, pretty well for Tampa Bay. And then, like Mac was saying, that brought back a memory is that the opening drive for the Ravens or the first couple drives or for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is super vital for them because if Baker makes mistakes, he doesn't play well when he's down. And especially against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, I think this is more so why the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-0. I think they're obviously super talented, but I also think that like when you play the Chiefs, not only are you intimidated because who they are, but you're intimidated because you almost have to play a perfect game because you know they're going to.
No, God, yes.
Like, I know Mahomes has thrown a ton of picks, and I know some have been deflected, but it's how they react to those. Like, then it's like, okay, Spags, like, go do something else. And, you know, some of those times the teams get field goals. Some of those times those teams turn the ball over again, like Joe Burrow did. Like, Mahomes throws a pick to Cambridge Taylor, and it's an amazing pick. And then the very next like, possession or two possessions later, Joe Burrow fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is like if Baker has to play perfect football and can't just be Baker where he's loose and fluid and just doesn't have a care in the world, then the Chiefs are, you know, going to be in for a back and forth battle. But if Tampa Bay comes out early and, you know, it's supposed to rain today and be a little bit sloppy, whatever, and Mahomes gets the ball and the Chiefs defense goes out there and stops Baker, three and out, Chiefs get the ball, methodical drive like always, 7 points, and then Baker goes down, throws an interception, we might get the text from you at that point.
You may get it early tonight. There's no question about it. And I think, you know,
Don't talk to me like that. Yeah. Buy me breakfast first, man.
I don't know. A little early for that.
You may get it early tonight.
You may get it early tonight. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
I hope, honest to God, it's one of those games where you feel free to shut the TV off at halftime. If you got an early morning or whatever.
The brain
or whatever. Like, it's one of those games where you're like, all right, they won 41-10. Not a lot to see here. Let's get ready for
21-3.5.
Yeah. Something of that nature, you know, where people are leaving at halftime. The rain is like, all right, we're out of here. This team has got this thing, you know, in the bag type of game. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping for, you know, in this one. But I've come to realize watching a lot of the NFL, and I think Tampa kind of falls into this category as well, of kind of what you were saying. Mm. These teams are good in their first 15 plays, and then nobody knows what to do after the script runs out anymore in the NFL. And I think we're seeing that a lot in this league. Just, you know, with the Chiefs having so many primetime games, you get the opportunity to kind of sit back and casually watch what's going on around the rest of the league. And a lot of these teams are great on those first drives. They just are because they're scripted. They know what they're going to do. They've worked on it all week in practice. It's their 15 best plays. Mm-hmm. And they go, and then they get to play 16, and we're like, and then everything collapses on these teams. The Chiefs don't do that because they're a veteran-led team. They've got a great head coach. They got a great offensive coordinator, great quarterback, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. They don't panic under pressure. And so I think in the NFL now, you know, unless you're Detroit or Kansas City, you get these guys off kilter a little bit. There's not a lot of wiggle room for teams to recover and come back from once you knock them off kilter. And I'm talking about the Chiefs. And so knock these guys off a little bit early, get Baker frustrated, because a frustrated Baker, you know how he gets. If he gets frustrated, it's going to be pouting and all that kind of stuff like a kid and whatnot. That's just his emotions and that's who he is. And you can't hold it against him, but that's what he does. He gets frustrated early. So get him frustrated early, throw the knockout blow early in this game, finish this game off, because on paper, this isn't really that big of a game. And I hope that doesn't factor into the Chiefs tonight where they're looking ahead to Denver next week, a divisional game and all that.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield reminds me of the guy that you can go on like vacations with, that when you're on the stretch of highway where you can just hit cruise control, go 70, no worries. But once you hit traffic or once you start like hearing your Google Maps, like exit in 1 mile, they start getting frantic. That's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, when he just can go back there and sit there and be like, okay, there's my target. It's, you know, we're doing all right. Once it's like a point where, again, maybe it's the Chiefs that can do that to him as well, being the superior team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Once he starts having to like think and trying to do too much, that's when the mistakes happen. That's what he did against Baltimore in that Monday Night Football game. Is he started the game off. He was, again, had both of his targets in that game, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But then it was like, all right, we're getting ready to get to our destination point. Like, oh, shoot, I got an interception. Right. All right, dang it, that's all right. Pop his in and on the sideline, get back out there. All right, which he did do that, which is awesome. Yeah, I love that. Let be yourself. So did Harbaugh. I think he put one in, too, on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And but, no, I think that's what he is. He's a driver that when he's able to just take the long stretch, put in cruise control, it looks great. MVP, I mean, he leads the league in touchdown passes, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then when he starts getting closer and closer to his destinations and things start to kind of add up, the feet start moving a little bit quicker, the mind starts to race, and then you see the performance distribute itself as well, which can lead to turnovers. If there's one thing, man, Spag smells blood.
You're going to get blood, and I think that's what's going to happen tonight. I just think Tampa Bay's too beat up, you know, to really give the Chiefs much of a challenge tonight. Now, I sit here and I say that, and it'll probably be a close game because it's the NFL, and that's ultimately what happens, but I think this is one of those games. I don't think the Chiefs want to mess around tonight, especially with the rain. You don't want to get dudes hurt. You want to go out there, get this lead early, be able to sit everybody at the tail end of the game, give some people rest, give people the opportunity with a short week now coming up to get ready for this, you know, this game against Denver on Sunday at noon. And so I would love for Chris Jones to be laughing on the sidelines with, you know, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Oh, I hope they're swag, like, yes. Swag serving before the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah, that kind of stuff. Like we need that back. We need that back in Kansas City. We need one of those. I know we're 7-0 and we're the best team in the NFL, but I feel like everybody in this town just needs a blowout win, right? Like we just need to see this team go out there and just slobber knock somebody tonight. Motorboat the hell out of them.
Yeah, 35-10. Go out. And again, I really think the start is going, because you talk about, you know, give Baker Mayfield a traffic jam early, because if that happens, you're right, the interceptions will start to flow. He's going to start running. He'll fumble. And they don't have the defense to back it up. The Chiefs have those new weapons with DeAndre Hopkins. Kareem Hunt's going to do great. I think this could be the first game where it feels like not just that they controlled the game, but they actually finished it.
Yeah.
They closed out these drives. They made the turnovers when they needed to happen.
Scored in the red zone. You know,
exactly.
Like DeAndre Hopkins is going to be big tonight. I wish it wasn't raining, because I do think that does factor in a lot of what you can do, you know, offensively, or what you want to do offensively. But I still think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a big factor. Like, I don't know. I'm excited to watch the red zone offense tonight.
Yes.
Like geek 101 here. Like, I'm interested to see what they do in the red zone now. Now that they've got DeAndre Hopkins, they've got Kareem Hunt running well right now. Like, I don't think the red zone should be a situation that's kryptonite anymore for this team.
30% chance of rain all evening.
So. All evening.
Okay.
See how that goes. But you know what? Just get me out of this game with no injuries.
That's the other thing, too. Yep. Like, this is one of those games. You're like, just win this thing and let's go.
I don't care if you win 10-7. Nobody gets hurt. You're 8-0.
Yeah.
That's a huge, massive victory for
me. Yeah. Score doesn't matter.
Overreaction Monday time. I love this part of the show on Mondays because it makes me feel like I kind of know what I'm talking about, but also I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, we don't. We have no clue.
Bob, lead the way.
All right. I don't know if this is an overreaction or not, but the Broncos defense was way overrated, like 100% benefit of their schedule. So I don't know if that's an overreaction, because they may play good next week against us. Who the hell knows? But I think the Broncos defense was shown yesterday that you're not as good as the Denver Post was telling you. Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I'm not sure how to phrase this properly with grammar. Is that the best free agent marriage in the history of the NFL? Like, I can't think of a better marriage than Derrick Henry and Baltimore right now. It feels right. It looks right. He's producing. I feel like he's been a Baltimore Raven his entire career.
Was Priest a free agent?
Priest was a free agent back in the day.
Pretty decent one there.
It was a good marriage. Yeah, no doubt. That
everybody
was a really good marriage.
Everybody won, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Right? Except the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, like Derrick Henry, man. And I was completely wrong on him. He's just been phenomenal. Like, where's Baltimore without Derrick Henry? They're Dallas.
They probably don't have.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Three losses, they probably have four.
Yeah, maybe, or maybe they're worse. Maybe they're worse. But I mean, it's just been a great marriage. Yeah.
There's a bunch of offensive linemen that are going to get some Rolexes at the end of the season.
I would hope. Yeah, I would hope so. Daniel Jones is the worst contract in NFL history, and I said that on Twitter yesterday.
As soon as you said, I went to your mentions. I'm like, how many? Every time I see Watson, I'm going to take a drink of my beer.
Right,
Watson.
Yeah. Right, and people said, what about Watson? Right,
sip.
And the
Watson,
difference.
Yes!
The difference to me. Is yes, Watson is a horrible human being, and it was a bad contract, you know, with the guaranteed money. But at least you could say they made that move because they thought Deshaun Watson had some talent, right? You thought Deshaun Watson had some talent. The Giants re-signed Daniel Jones knowing he had no talent. He went 672 days without a touchdown at Giants Stadium. The Chiefs won two Super Bowls in that time frame. In between Daniel Jones' touchdown drives at Giant Stadium, the Chiefs won two Super Bowls.
Is he your dad's most hated Giant of all time?
I don't know
if there was a guy that was out there before. I mean, I know there's been some names, but I didn't know if
I'm sure there's somebody from like the 60s or something that he doesn't
Where
like.
Where was Malik Nabers yesterday?
I don't know. Yeah.
Were we too early?
Maybe.
Too early on Malik?
Maybe.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Too early on Caleb, too, maybe, too. Yeah, he was not good yesterday. He's out of the offensive
percentage
rookie of the
year wise,
category.
He was not good. Yardage and everything else. No interceptions, no fumbles.
How many points did they score?
That's right.
Yeah. And then Tyreek Hill, he's just a Jag now, man. He's nothing special.
I thought he was a Dolphin.
No, he's a Jag. Just a guy. He's just a guy. He is no longer a special player in the NFL.
Carrington had a stat yesterday that made me like go, what? He has as many receiving touchdowns as Bo Nix.
One. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, Tyreek Hill is just an average Joe. He is no longer a game breaker. He's no longer an important player. He's no longer somebody you have to worry about. He's no longer even being targeted by his own team. Wow. Tyreek Hill is a role player, a minor player in the NFL.
24 hours later. Tyreek Hill's been traded to the Kansas City. Yeah. Chiefs got a guy, dude.
Hall of Famer.
I don't know that he's going to be coming here to Kansas City.
Oh, if I'm Miami, I sell everybody.
Oh, I would too. I would
we can
absolutely
get into that a little bit later as well. Mac, are we good? Nope, we're good.
Yep,
Tyreek Hill's done.
Yep.
The speed's finally going away. You think?
I do. What has he done this year? Even with his guy back, he hasn't been anything productive.
Yeah, and if you're as good as he was supposed to be, you're supposed to do stuff. I don't care if it's Skylar Thompson or whoever back there. Like, you're supposed to produce.
You're supposed to produce.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys. Hey.
My bad.
He's the
My
number
bad.
One player in the NFL, according to the top 100 list made
he's
by
one
the
step
players.
Above Albert Wilson. Can't win without Patrick.
And he's in Miami.
That's right.
All right, Mac, go ahead.
I think Patriots found their franchise quarterback. I know it was the Titans. I know, like, if you look at the stats, one touchdown, two interceptions, you're not going to be wowed. But, like, Drake May made some amazing plays yesterday behind the line of scrimmage, keeping his eyes downfield. He's made some great plays. I think he's really fun. He's the only fun part of that Patriots team. And
I think Robert Kraft's pretty fun to watch.
That's fair. Good day for New England, right? You know, Drake May had some really good moments, and they still lost the game. It's exactly what New England wants.
Yeah, they're the number one team right now for draft, you know, pick procedures, if you will.
Exactly. Yes. I probably get a tackle to pair up with Drake May over there. The Chargers are an upset alert for someone in the playoffs. This is a wild card beware team. You know, I think last week we were going through the playoff matchups. I think it was LA and Houston. Like, that matchup to me, even like from last week to this week, has changed. Like, I think the Chargers have a serious chance in the playoffs against a team like a Houston Texans. Bryce Young. Hey, it's Overreaction Monday. Bryce Young may have turned his career around yesterday.
Oh, boy.
It was one game. It was at home.
Boy.
It was only his second home win, I think. But really good for Bryce Young. And on a serious note, I don't think I want to see Chris Olave play for the rest of the season.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. I mean, Dusty and I were talking about that before the game. Like, the amount of flags that came in on that play.
Well, it was like a video game.
I mean, it was insane. Like, every ref, they're just bombarded with flags. Like, that's how bad a hit that was.
I'll do this quick. My overreaction, there are only two great teams in the NFL. Great teams. That is the Chiefs and the
Detroit
Lions.
That's not an overreaction.
Lions.
That is a fact.
Some people would say there might be four. Might be Buffalo and Baltimore in there.
They're not
great
teams. They got a lot of losses.
So. Yeah. I thought it was funny. The stat I heard yesterday was Buffalo has a significant and the biggest margin of lead in their division. They're 6-2. The Chiefs are 7-0, and their entire division is close because they haven't played anybody.
Right.
I go further on. Arizona is going to win the NFC West. I know that division is wide open.
Everybody's 4-4 in that division now, right?
Niners had a bye week. Rams looked meh, right? Puka Nacua's out there throwing
punches.
Gotta
win.
They did get a win. Seattle, I'm not sure about them anymore. Geno Smith's just too much of a wild card.
How about that dime from Matthew Stafford to DeMarcus Robinson, of all
that
people?
That was a one-handed snag that won the game. That was beautiful to see.
Mean,
and people
wow.
thought they were going to try to trade him. Not happening. I think Arizona wins that division. I think Dennis Allen might be the worst coach in my lifetime.
Oh, no. You Todd Haley was here. What year were you born?
1987.
Yeah, there's been a lot of bad ones, yeah.
Dennis Allen made Bryce Young look good, and that's something you have to say out loud three times to believe it. I think the Kelly Green Philadelphia Eagles jerseys are the GOAT.
Yeah, they're unbelievably
awesome.
Or a new
term I call the boat. They're the best of all time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those jerseys that like, gunmetal gray with that Kelly Green and the fly. Come on.
They're like, just so good. Was yesterday like retro day in the NFL?
Keep it up, you know? I mean, it will be tonight on Monday Night Football for the Chiefs. And Dallas is now going to tank the rest of the year. Mike McCarthy will be fired midseason, and they'll just rip the Band-Aid off, hopefully, to give their fan base something, because that was brutal yesterday. Seeing Dak get hurt, seeing CeeDee Lamb get hurt, knowing Micah Parsons is out, knowing at the beginning of the season they needed to sign those three guys for the future of their team, and they did
that
only sign
thing
two.
Is done.
That is
in
a
Dallas.
When you see the dumpster on fire down the street in torment, that is Dallas. I think they will fire McCarthy midseason, even though Jerry Jones says he won't. He's a liar. We know that. It's been proven before. And one more overreaction. Zay Flowers, top five receiver in the NFL. Zay Flowers is a stud, dude.
He's very good.
How'd he do against the Chiefs?
I don't know. I'm just saying as a position player.
No, I bet I'm furthering his point along. Like, he's so good, and the Chiefs are like, see you later,
How'd
man.
How'd Derrick Henry do against the Chiefs?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, I hate to say it. At 7-0, this league is sleeping on the Kansas City Chiefs.
913-586-7965. We ask you a question. The question is, who's the greatest sitcom character of all time? 913-586-7965. We get into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here at 96.5 The Fan. Loaded show for you today. Derek Johnson, Sean Smith, Matt Cotrero, Josh Briscoe.
That's a lot of guests for us. We don't normally have a lot of guests.
Nope.
But we got good ones today.
We've got some guesses on how we think the game's going to go tonight. I think the Chiefs win. I think it's a sloppy, nasty, wet show out there, but they'll keep that thing covered until they got to go out there and take videos of Mahomes throwing 80 yards and Butker placing them from 65.
How about Seabass yesterday with that 61-yard field goal to win that thing for Buffalo yesterday? He did that with ease.
That's really easy.
There was a topic that was brought up in the owners' meeting that kind of flew under the radar about them trying to narrow the goalposts moving forward. And I'm being serious about that. They think the kicking game has gotten too good in the NFL, and the owners are exploring narrowing the goalposts.
I love it.
You do?
I love it.
Why? Like, why mess with something? Just leave it be. Like, of all things to, like, fix in the NFL, we got to narrow the goalposts.
Personally, I'd have you start further back. You just don't have – it's too easy to score now. You start at the 30. Kickers can kick from the 40.
Yeah.
I mean, you got what? You got 30 yards.
Yeah, that's all you really need. 30 yards for points. But so be it. I mean, isn't that what we want? More scoring and
that's
whatnot?
True. No, you're right. That's true.
You know, so I mean, like, of all things the owners need to talk about in the NFL, the size of the goalpost, I didn't think would ever come up and be in conversation. But, I mean, we see that dude would have been good from 70 yesterday.
I think you
should add another, like, thing.
Yeah.
And if you hit the, like, middle one.
You get four.
Or whatever. Oh. And then if you go for the outside, which is wider, it's just the normal three.
Oh, okay. I don't hate that.
Yeah,
no,
that's fun.
I mean,
it just feels like
we're
talking about like lowering and raising the mound on the, because like, what was it? They wanted to like lower the mound because they thought the velocity was going
anymore.
Too fast.
They did it in like 1968.
Yeah, Bob Gibson
pitched too good or something for the Cardinals, and then they lowered the mound. I think they lowered the mound.
They lowered it, and now they want to lower it again. I don't know.
Do they really want to lower it again?
There was a conversation where they either wanted to move it back further because
that conversation.
That's what it was. They wanted to move back further because they're like, 101 miles per hour? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, 60 feet, 6 inches coming right at your face, right? Like, let's back it up to, what, 62 and call it a day? I mean, how much further are you going to back up?
Just leave it.
Yeah, just leave it alone, man. Let's make people adjust.
We asked a question on the text line, Jay Southlantos, service text line, the greatest sitcom character of all time.
Jay Binkley immediately texted me this one.
Did
do you
really?
Do you know who Jay Binkley said was
Al
the
greatest?
No. Oh. God, no. No. That's another good guess, too, though, but you're 0 for 2. It was actually Hayden Fox from Coach. Yeah, he picked a fictional football coach to be the greatest sitcom character of all time.
Okay. Who's yours?
It's Sophia Petrillo from Golden Girls. I love mm-hmm. Estelle Getty. Nobody could deliver a one line like her. She was fantastic.
This is tough for me.
Okay.
Are sitcoms, like, would you consider like HBO show sitcoms?
Like, if you talk about Curb, or are you talking about
like Game of Thrones? That's not a sitcom.
That's not a sitcom.
Right.
No,
sitcoms
no.
like Friends, Seinfeld, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Like, is Eastbound and Down, is that a sitcom?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're laughing. Yeah. It's a situational comedy. You're laughing. Yeah, I'm good with
that. Kenny Powers is high on my list.
Yeah, Kenny Powers in season one was good. Then
I mean,
weird.
Which to me was funny when him and what's his buddy's name go to Mexico.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? I can't even remember it now. Like Danny or something. Season three I thought, better than season
Stevie.
Two. Stevie. Yeah. And I thought Will Ferrell in season one was freaking outstanding as a car dealer, right?
When you hear the drop on our show, this is like, feel it, my plums.
Yeah.
That's from Eastbound and Down.
Right, yeah. What a great first season. That rivals the first season or any season of just about any show on television.
From the 785, greatest sitcom character has got to be the Cosmo Kramer, the Ass Man.
The Ass Man,
I do have mine from that show. I think it's Costanza. Because my whole life in the restaurant industry, my boss has always said, why are you George Costanza? Because I'd be like, why do we sing at tables? Like, no, that's dying out.
Right.
You know, why are people able to bring in their own goldfish and then they just put them all over the floor? I don't understand it.
Right. That's not being George Costanza. That's asking real questions. Like, George Costanza ultimately was a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, when you factor it down. Yeah. But I don't
single, never lasted a relationship because it'd be my fault. Like, just kind of the same. Like, liked a restaurant, didn't get to eat there because you wanted the big salad. Now we got to go to this place. It only has eggs, not egg lane,
right.
Like stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't know. There's a lot of similarities there. And then my other one is Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil was always a good. He
Uncle
was a
Phil
good
was
for a
dope,
life
man.
Lesson, man.
Dude, it's just dope. Like Uncle Phil was just like when the scene in Fresh Prince where he goes in and plays pool and just cleans house and everyone's like, oh, he's got that swag to him. And then also like he just reminds me of that guy in your life if you had it where. It can be fun in games, but there's going to be a couple times where it's like, listen,
yeah,
I'm telling you this because I care. And that's what Uncle Phil was for me. Cause like growing up in the 90s, like Fresh Prince was, I mean, a different culture of a show for me, right?
Sure.
Being a white kid from the suburbs, watching a show with Will Smith and Carlton, all these other guys that were different than me, but I could relate. And I love that.
Did you choose Uncle Phil before you knew that Quincy Jones passed away?
No, I did not.
Okay. But that's a great tie into today, because Quincy Jones created Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and he passed away last night. So it's just kind of a really good tie in there with him. Mac, do you even know what a sitcom is and who would be yours? Like Doug from whatever the show that was?
Who's Doug?
There was a show called Doug. Wasn't there like a cartoon show on Nickelodeon?
It was a great show.
Yeah, right. I figured that was kind of Mac's wheelhouse. I like Doug and from Blue's Clues.
I could did a Steve and Blue's Clues. I could
Steve.
If we did a trivia on Doug, man, we're good. You want characters? Roger Klotz, Pork Chop, Patty Mayonnaise.
That is not my wheelhouse at all.
Mayor from Bluffington was BB's dad. The Beats.
You're good at this stuff with shows and movies. He pulls out quotes.
Yeah,
I'm
not a show movie guy.
I told you guys, I'm a loser.
I know the shows and movies that I like. Yep. And like last night, the football game got boring. I'm watching reruns of Murphy Brown. Like that's kind of where I am. Like,
gotcha.
I don't need the new stuff. You know, I sound like my father. I need your music. Let me put on Light FM and listen to the music. Like, this is kind of where I am. But like another great sitcom character. And
is South Park a sitcom?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, Randy Marsh.
Randy Marsh is a
three.
Good one. Yeah. I've always loved Cartman. Dude. Yeah. But Randy Marsh got better as the show went on. You know, like he became more of a central figure.
Sharon, check this out. Oh my God. Why'd you sell me a picture of poop?
Cosmo. Oh, speaking of poop.
Oh God.
Okay.
Speaking of poop, our friend Ben Maller sent me this text this morning. A naked British tourist has plunged through his hotel balcony while allegedly being extremely drunk and covered in poo. The 51-year-old man is said to have been found with his legs dangling above a packed-out cafe in Thailand. And here's a picture of the guy wrapped in a hotel sheet, hanging through a balcony, covered in poo. Mm.
So who's your favorite sitcom character?
Michael Scott's got to be up there. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny.
A lot of Dwight Schrute on the text line. Dwight Schrute was really good, too.
Yeah.
I saw Barney Stinson on the text line. That's a good one for How I Met Your Mother.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to encourage you guys, too, you two specifically, to go back and watch WKRP in Cincinnati. And you'll start watching as you're like, oh, my God. It's based on a real radio station in Atlanta that I actually worked for the owners of at one point in time. It was awful. But Dr. Johnny Fever was an amazing sitcom character. Harold Hessman, he was fantastic in just about everything he did. But you go watch him as Dr. Johnny Fever, you're like, oh my God, that's the radio industry 2AT.
Where can I find it?
Wherever.
Internets.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Is Baywatch a sitcom?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's a drama?
I don't know if that's a drama, but it's not a sitcom.
I mean, they almost drowned out there. If it wasn't for Pamela Anderson and David Hasselhoff, there could have been a lot of dead people.
David Hasselhoff is huge in Germany.
Of course. Yeah. Say his last name.
Hasselhoff.
Thank you. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, over-under on coaches fired this year. I think I got the number right, but I could be wrong. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.